Responding. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome, Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB, about 10 after the hour. Welcome to the program. Phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We got national stuff, we've got state stuff, the Chick-fil-A Hobby Lobby mess in Georgia really aggravated conservatives in the state house. They're mad now at Governor Deal. Cutting deals with the Democrats on the education reforms. We'll get into all of that, but we got to start with national stuff again tonight. We will name some more names later. We'll get back into Christian Coomer as well. I've got the list now of votes. He and his staff can deny that he skips votes. I've got the list. Christian Coomer of Cartersville. I have the list. Yeah, well, I got the list from a friend of mine who's been documenting these things. Jessica's been very diligent. We'll get into all of that. But we've got to begin with Ted Cruz running for president. I only spent a brief amount of time on it the other day, and I need to pivot back to it, if only for this reason. You know, Cruz has announced he's going to get on Obamacare while he's running for office. Now, his wife has an insurance plan, I'm sure, from Goldman Sachs, but he is going to get on Obamacare. And the left has gone nuts over it. I mean, laughing hysterically over Ted Cruz signing up for Obamacare. I thought that's what they wanted, though. I mean, the craziness from the left laughing about Cruz on Obamacare while he runs for president. He's a United States senator. He essentially is on Obamacare now as a United States senator. And the left is getting a great laugh out of this. But here's my question for them. Isn't this what they wanted? I mean, honestly, to me, it sounds like Cruz is trolling them greatly. So now they've got a situation where you get fined if you don't get on Obamacare. So a Republican presidential candidate has gotten on Obamacare, and he's going to run for office telling everyone how bad his insurance is now that he's on Obamacare. That's why the left has started what they've started with Cruz. That is why the left has gone out of their way to ridicule Cruz for what he's doing. That is precisely it. Because they know what he's going to do now. The president today had to give a press conference where he heralded the great accomplishment of Obamacare. Higher insurance rates, less able to help. Did you know I've got a buddy of mine who he's got back issues. And in the past, he lives up in Washington. In the past, he's been able to go into his doctor and get taken care of. And now he can't. He can't just walk in. He had to go to the emergency room the other day because his back went out on him, lay on the floor of the emergency room trying to get treated. I mean, it's only going to get worse. The president would not have to come out and tell everyone how awesome it is if it was actually awesome. Everyone would know, but they don't know here on this anniversary of Obamacare. They don't know. They don't like it. Opposition to Obamacare has gone up. They have to keep telling you that you like it, even though you know you don't. And now here comes Ted Cruz, who signs up for it and is going to run a campaign for president telling people, this is a bad thing. I know I'm on it, unlike the president, who gets special privileges for insurance because he's president. It's a wonderful trolling move for Ted Cruz. All right, we got to take a step out. Doug Turnbull, how's the traffic looking?
Of course, it's just like you'd expect, Eric. 513 WSB, and we just had some good news, at least on the WSB Jam Camp. The crash just moved to the right shoulder, out of Loop 285 north at Glenwood. The damage done, 285 eastbound, already in the log jam, leaving 675 up past the I-20 area there. You have outer loop delays. Fortunately, the sun's shrouded behind the clouds, but you still have slow spots. 285 west scattered between 400 and I-75, and south of Divinings, 285 south. It slows below South Cobb to I-20. Your inner loop is slow most of the way. 285 east and south from 400 on the north side all the way around to about Memorial Drive on the east side, Eric.
Thank you very much. Okay, so, I mean, this is kind of the irony of what the left is doing here. They're telling people to follow the law. Ted Cruz follows the law, and then they're ridiculing him for following the law. They're trying to stack the deck against him. Now, listen, I got to tell you guys, this is not an endorsement of Cruz. I wrote at Red State this morning, as a matter of fact. We are 48 hours in, and I'm already tired of it. I am already tired of the conservative fighting over who the nominee should be. I am tired of, I'm tired of it all. I will support any of the Republican nominees. We have the deepest bench of Republicans. We've got the deepest bench of conservatives to run for president since 1980. When you think about it, we got the longest serving governor of Texas, a great reform governor in Louisiana, three United States senators who have run under the conservative banner. We've got a former governor of Florida who had a great conservative record while he was governor. We can disagree with Bush afterwards, but he had a good conservative record as Florida, as Florida's governor. We've got the governor of Wisconsin, very successful in a purple state, beating the left. We've got all of these things, and I'm willing to let these guys make their pitch. What I am most interested in, I want to hear their vision. I want to hear the vision of the candidates for what the country should look like after 4 years of their administration. I don't need them to bash Barack Obama. We can bash Barack Obama all day long. I can bash Barack Obama for them. But I want to hear their vision. I want to hear what they want the country to look like. I am not interested in listening to Bob, a Twitter blogger in his mother's basement who lives on a diet of Lucky Charms and Red Bull and is 40 years old. I could care less what Bob thinks. Bob is upset that we are not on the bandwagon of his candidate and worshiping his candidate as if he was Jesus. I mean, we've got the cult of Cruz already rising. We've already had the cult of Paul. They've just shifted from Ron to Rand. We got the cult of Scott Walker out there. Those are the most aggressive ones. There is a cult of Bush, but billionaires don't tend to be on Twitter, so you don't hear them complaining as much. And I'm already tired of it, 48 hours in. We're already getting people calling this show, complaining that I said something not nice about their preferred candidate. I'm going to say something not nice about all of them. I'm going to say something nice about all of them as well, even Bush. I will say nice things. I will say bad things. I will tell you what I think. And you can disagree. That's perfectly fine. And you can call the show and we can have agreements and disagreements. But I'm already tired of the cult of personality. Conservatives should not build up cults of personality like the left does. And we're doing it. We have been doing it. We got a cult of personality of Reagan. Reagan is dead. We don't need a cult of personality of dead guys. I mean, I worship Jesus Christ. He's alive. I don't worship Ronald Reagan, who is in the grave, hopefully in heaven. I assume in heaven. Nonetheless, you know what I mean. There's just no point in it. And yet we've got this cult of personality of Ted Cruz. You say anything negative about Ted Cruz, and suddenly you must be a Bush supporter. No. There are people who have legitimate questions about his background and his qualifications. They're allowed to ask those questions. Same with Rand Paul, same with Marco Rubio, same with Jeb Bush, same with Scott Walker, Bobby Jindal, Rick Perry, you name it. They're allowed. We're allowed. I will do it for you. Just as I've been holding these clowns in the state legislature accountable. And we got to get into the state legislature. We can't avoid it. I have heard all day now from conservatives in the House and Senate who are rather disheartened. It appears they may have been outmaneuvered. It appears the Republicans in the State House, they are intent on making Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby pay for abortions in Georgia, under Georgia law. They are. And they can deny it. They can lie about it. They can say, I'm lying. I will hold these clowns accountable. I'm really appalled. Really appalled. Frankly, I love Governor Deal. I was so wrong about him when he ran for office. I like him. But I'm really appalled at what has happened here. And he's involved. And I will give you the latest when we come back. You know what? I'm going to put off the discussions on the state legislature for a while. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of them. I am tired of having to deal with this issue. And, you know, I mentioned the other day, we've gotten a few complaints from people that you're not talking enough about national stuff. Well, the legislature only meets, I mean, technically 60 days in the year. And I'm realizing more and more as I get into it and try to pay attention to it, that there really aren't a ton of people out there who are giving you the level of behind the scenes, inside baseball stuff that I'm doing. And frankly, a lot of them are so tied to people in leadership and need them for access that they're just not giving you the level of detail I'm willing to give you. So I'm the hem and the haw here, finding the balance of it. I want to get into it. Don't get me wrong. I want to get into what's going on, and I will, but there's all this national stuff out there too, and I think I want to spend this hour on the national stuff. I will name names in the next hour and get into the behind-the-scenes stuff of what's going on. I am kind of disappointed in the governor, and don't get me wrong. I like Governor Deal, and some of you are rather upset with me for saying nice things about the governor. You know, as much as I get the business from members of the legislature for saying not nice things about Ralston, Wendell Willard, and the rest of them, I get the business from some of you who don't like Deal, never have liked Deal, and think that I am being too nuanced and diplomatic and should be blowing him up when I actually like the guy. I do. And I think he means well. I do not think he is in the pocket of certain interests that the legislature in. I do like the guy, and you need to know that. And so it does color my perspective of him. I like his staff. I think his staff are honest. I've got some issues with some, but overall, I think his staff means well. And frankly, I mean, whether I like Governor Deal or not, he is a far better governor than I thought he was going to be. And I got to give him points for that. I really did, giving him being a creature of Washington for so long and all the stories surrounding him and his background, I really did think that he was going to be a terrible governor, and he has surprised me. So that does shape how I talk about Governor Deal, but I'm disappointed in this case on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and the obfuscation members of the legislature willing to engage in to make companies like Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby, and others pay for abortions, and that's what they're doing, even though they say they're not. We'll get into all of that at the top of the hour. When we come back, though, ISIS has spread to Tatooine. Welcome back. Eric Erickson here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB. We haven't spent a lot of time in the last few weeks talking about ISIS, largely because of state legislative matters from Beard Education to RFRA, you name it. But I ran across a story today. It'd been circulating online, and, you know, we hear all these news stories about ISIS in Iraq and in Syria. And I read today that ISIS has invaded Tatooine from Star Wars. I'm not actually joking here. They've invaded Tatooine. You see, back during the 70s, when George Lucas was filming Star Wars, they went to Tunisia. They made Tatooine in Tunisia, the place where Luke Skywalker grew up, where he first meets R2-D2 and C-3PO. They made it in southern Tunisia, and they left it. And the buildings, the domed huts, the sand huts that Luke Skywalker and his aunt and uncle lived in, they're still there. You can go visit them. Tunisia turned it into a tourist area. It has been invaded by ISIS. This, according to the Daily Dot, ISIS has been seizing territory left and right in its quest to establish a regional caliphate Islamic government. Experts estimate the group controls one-third of Syria, and the poor security situation in Iraq has led to easy gains there as well. But ISIS's seizure of Tatooine has generated breathless mainstream media coverage because the small Tunisian city inspired the name of Star Wars planet Tatooine, where both Anakin Skywalker and his son Luke were born. So yeah, okay, I get that wrong. The Tatooine is the actual city and was pre-existing the name of the planet in Star Wars. But you get the gist here. This is what's happening. Friends, I took geography in eighth grade. We had to memorize the map. We had to memorize every country on the planet. We had to memorize every capital of every country on the planet. We had to memorize all of their flags, and we had to memorize major features in each country. Tatooine was actually a major feature we had to memorize in eighth grade geography with Gary Lake in Dubai because he was a Star Wars guy. I know where Tatooine is on the map. I know where Tunisia is on the map. It is nowhere near Syria. It is nowhere near Iraq. It is in North Africa. It is west of Libya. And they're there. ISIS is spreading across the Middle East and North Africa. It is gaining strongholds in Yemen. Earlier today, the president of Yemen had to flee the country by boat. Had to flee the country by boat to get away from Al-Qaeda and ISIS. You know, the president told us things were going hunky-dory there in Yemen, that the country was settled, the country was secure. Not. It's not. Things are going badly. And the media doesn't want to talk about it because they must protect the precious. They just must. We must protect you on your ride home. Let's go check out traffic.
And let's give you a little bit of good news. 542 WSB, the southeast perimeter is getting a little better. It's down now just sluggish, 285 east and north from 675. Their earlier problem now cleared around Glenwood, but you have more below the speed limit condition coming around from Ashford W Road past 75 and Cobb and south toward I-20 on the west side. Your interloop backups are sluggish out of Vinings on 285 north from Paces Ferry up to 75 east and southbound. Very heavy, though, from about Roswell Road all the way around to Highway 78 and Memorial Drive in that area on the east side, Eric.
Thank you very much.
We need it. Must have the precious. They stole it from us. Sneaky little orbitsies. Wicked, tricksy, fierce. My precious.
That is members of the press talking about Republicans, and they refuse to let you know the extent to which ISIS is taking over the Middle East and North Africa because it is an indictment of President Obama's foreign policy. So they won't tell you. They don't want to tell you. Things are going to end badly. You know, I totally understand why more and more people believe that we're just, the end times are immediately upon us. They are expecting the clouds to open and Jesus Christ to come storming out of the clouds on a white horse with a sword any moment. I totally get it, seeing what's happening. I've got more and more friends of mine who are convinced that the whole gay marriage thing is the mark of the beast, that if you don't like it, you're not going to be able to get a job. You're not going to be able to provide goods and services. I disagree with them, but I totally see why they say it. Stuff like this, and it is an American media coddling a president. They have taken sides, and they are on the wrong side. They always talk about the wrong side of history and who's on it on civil rights. They are on the wrong side of history. They're on the wrong side of the world, taking the president's side, defending his foreign policy on these things. No good is going to come of what's happening in the Middle East, and we need to be aware of it. They've taken Tatooine, people. That alone should be enough for them to strike back. Did you hear that? Have you been here the full hour? I have managed to do a full hour of national and international political news and have only waded slightly into Georgia news. When we come back, it'll be the local hour. Christian Coomer, I've got the list of the votes that he's missed. The state representative from Cartersville who the other members, I mean, even Charles, and I'm not a Charles Gregory fan. But Charles Gregory's been yelled down on the floor, admonished for being on the floor of the House and missing votes. And Christian Coomer, well, Coomer's on the floor and misses a lot of votes. I've got the list. We'll get into those when we come back. And the latest on the governor's plan, which, you know, Conservatives have been very frustrated about this. They've been frustrated about the governor. I want to get into all these things when we come back. I got a lot to say about local domestic issues, RFRA, whatnot, the vote has happened, all of that. We'll get into it. Eric Erickson here, News 95.5, AM 750 WSB. AM 750 WSB, the second hour of radio excellence, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Programming note, I will be on Outnumbered on Fox News tomorrow at noon. Be sure to tune in. As always, I am beginning the preparations for the Good Friday show, which will air next Friday. We're going to do a special show next Friday. It'll be 6 to 8. We'll have a special non-Eric show at 5 o'clock next Friday, and then I will be on 6 to 8 o'clock just so I have some expanded time to be able to do the Good Friday show justice again next Friday. Picking out the music right now, probably a lot of Third Day. Their new album came out. They've got a new worship album, and I really, really like it. It is a great album for them. Some other songs in there as well. I'm debating on how much Johnny Cash. I'd love to put in the Johnny Cash, but I know the listeners and whatnot. Anyway, so let's move on to local stuff. There is a thing called hot zips. You might as well learn the lingo. Hot zips. Hot zips are hot zip codes. Those are where our listeners live. And you can, in the media these days, whether it's the internet, TV, or radio, you can get a pretty good picture of people. Like when I send out my show notes, for example, or I send out an action item, as I've been doing a lot lately, I can target people by zip code. I've got well over 10,000 activist emails in Georgia. I have zip codes for most of them. Every one of them I have an IP address for, and I can pretty specifically target them down to an area of the city. It's quite impressive, actually, the technology they had. It's taken me a while to learn it. You can do a really good job of targeting people. And I got to tell you, we've got members of the state legislature, Republicans, who are cooperating with the Democrats. Beth Beskin of Atlanta. I said Cobb County yesterday. She's actually Buckhead. Wendell Willard, Sandy Springs. They are good examples of that. Guess what? They represent hot zips. Yes, I am perfectly willing to take a segment of this radio show every day for the next 365 business days to tell you why you should not vote for these people. I am perfectly happy to do that. You know, our show gets up to LJ. I am perfectly happy to remind people of how terrible Speaker Ralston has shown himself to be. I didn't engage last time. I've always thought the Speaker was a good guy. We could disagree on stuff. I didn't realize how corrupt he actually is. I am perfectly happy to do that. I am perfectly happy to do these things. I am perfectly happy to make sure my listeners are focused on local races in 2016 when everybody else is focused on national races. I am perfectly happy to remind you, you need to go to your state party convention. I am perfectly happy to remind you, you need to go to your district conventions. I am perfectly happy to remind you, you need to fight like hell because these guys in the state legislature are proving themselves to be as corrupt as they actually are. Pay to play. They are a moneyed class who pretend to be socially conservative. That's what it amounts to. And I am perfectly happy to use this microphone, all 150,000 watts of it, my email list and website, to hound these people from office for betraying the voters. They campaigned one way and they've done the exact opposite when they got in office, and they should be exposed. I am perfectly happy to name names. I'm also happy to toss to traffic so they can get you home this evening where you can continue to listen to me in your garage. Just keep your car turned off if you close the door. Doug, how's it looking?
And a helpful tip from Eric Erickson at 615 WSB. And right now we still have delays left on the perimeter, particularly 285 westbound. The auto loop pretty from 400 to 75. It's still a slow ride there out of Sandy Springs. Southbound is below the speed limit but not jammed between 75 and I-20 on the west side auto loop. And most of those delays gone on the east side or southeast down a loop into DeKalb County, 285 east and northbound between Boulder Crest and I-20. On the inner loop, 285 north, still rough. Pace is ferry to that slow 75 ride. Eastbound delays from Ashford Dunwoody past 85 and down 285 south past La Vista Road. Eric?
So what you need to know is Beth Beskin, Johnny Caldwell, Jay Powell, Wendell Willard on the special subcommittee dealing with RFRA, they are perfectly happy to extend religious liberty protections to churches and nonprofits, but if you are a Christian business owner, you are screwed, according to them. You know, Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A, Conestoga Wood, Little Sisters of the Poor, you name it, they got federal protection from Obamacare under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the federal version that Bill Clinton signed. And Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood, even though they were for-profit companies, they got that protection because they're small businesses structured around single families who practice their faith through their business. So the court said, yes, for a small family-owned business who are Christians or Muslims or Jews, you name it, yes, they can get religious protection because it's clear they implement their faith in their practices for their business. Their ministry is their business, the doctrine of vocation. We have representatives in Georgia, state representatives in Georgia, who are happy to make Hobby Lobby, Conestoga Wood, Chick-fil-A pay for abortions, pay for the abortifacient drugs of their workers, to pay for transgendered bathrooms in their businesses, to allow boys to use the girls' bathroom and girls to use the boys' bathroom. This is not hyperbole, and they say it is. They say I'm making it up. But, you know, Washington, D.C., for example, Washington, D.C. has mandated that it is a civil right to pay for the abortion coverage of employees. It is a civil right there. What these guys want to do is they want to allow local governments in Georgia to expand civil rights, protected classes, declare things by ordinance to be civil rights, and there will be no protection for the Christian business. The compromise that Beth Beskin, Johnny Caldwell, Jay Powell, Wendell Willard, David Ralston, you name it, like, that is the logical outcome. That is what will happen. You will see this happen to people of faith, and they will be perfectly fine with it because they will get checks from big businesses who oppose Christian liberty protection. They will be perfectly fine forcing the Christian butcher, baker, and candlestick maker to do things that violate their conscience because they've gotten checks from big business. And you need to be reminded of that all the time. I was really hoping conservatives could be able to mount some effective opposition and hold things up. But, you know, the size of the Republican majority in the state legislature is a good thing in order to get some things done, but it's a bad thing in order for conservatives to hold things up. That's why I'm a big fan of bringing back the filibuster, even though the Democrats scrapped it at the federal level. It's not about the Republicans. It's about conservatives. And conservatives in the House and Senate in Georgia have got to learn to stand together on some of these fights. They've got to learn to stand together against leadership. Look, I like the governor's Opportunity Schools District plan. I think it is a good plan. I think it is a solid plan. And kudos to the governor to be able to advance it. I will support it on the ballot. I absolutely will. I think it is a good plan. But I wish the governor was as engaged in helping people of faith, including small business owners who are people of faith, than he has been. I wish his office would have stood with conservatives vocally on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I wish he would have. Feel like we didn't have an ally on that. In fact, I feel like conservatives are all the time told to get on board. That, even the tax increase, conservatives are told to get on board, but leadership can give them a middle finger every time. It's time to give them the middle finger. It absolutely is time to fight in a way we haven't fought before. You know, one of the ways conservatives are going to have to fight back, and by the way, I think that this fight in this legislative session, the fights on religious freedom, the fights on transportation, the fights on education, the fights on medical marijuana, you name it. One of the positives for conservatives, even though they may lose the fights, one of the positives is they're realizing that they've got to stand together in both houses. They've got to work together. One of the things they're realizing is that they have a voice on the outside right here, this microphone, who is willing to defend them. One of the things they're realizing is that we're going to have to start exposing people like Beth Beskins and Johnny Caldwell and Jay Powell and Wendell Willard and others, the David Ralstons of the world. We're going to have to expose them. We're going to have to let people know, I got a lot of hot zips out there. Listen to this program. I am perfectly happy to spend the time exposing all of these people in a way they're just not going to be able to compete with. And that's just the honest truth of it. Not bragging about it. That's just the truth. And it's going to have to happen. We are going to have to use this platform to name names and shed light on these people and what they do. They masquerade as conservatives. They parade as conservatives. They tell you they're a conservative. And then they go to the legislature and they're perfectly happy to pass legislation that makes them look good, but in the process sells out companies like Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. When we come back, we're going to begin the exposition. We're going to begin the naming of names. We're going to get back in to Christian Coomer. I've got the votes, and I'm going to go there when we come back. Welcome back. Derek Erickson here. You know, one of the bits of criticism, given my prior statement before the commercial break, One of the criticisms I get, and to some degree I realize it is a fine line. I got to keep you guys company on the ride home. I got to keep you informed. But the goal, I believe, of an effective talk show host, and I'll just be very frank with you, my goal is more to keep you company on the way home than to be evangelistic or missional in my approach. You can't save the world if no one wants to listen to you. It's one of the problems I have with angry conservatives out there who are angry all the time about everything. No one wants to be around you. So if I can't make you laugh, if I can't keep you company on your way home, you're not going to listen. And so then Dick Williams the other day, Tricky Dick Williams on his Sunday show, says that I have gone beyond the role. I've gone beyond the role. I've gone beyond the role of a talk show host because I advocate and I call out people. And I get it. This hasn't really been done a lot in Georgia, but there's no manual for it. The First Amendment, as Phil Kent responded to him the other day, the First Amendment affords me a great deal of latitude. The First Amendment gives me latitude to take positions on things I care about, to inform you, to share with you, to try to get you to appreciate it, to make you laugh, what have you. But also, I think, to be missional. I mean, it's one thing to entertain you, and I want to entertain you. I want to keep you company. I want to make you tune in every day, but I also want to name names because I don't think there's enough accountability. I mean, take Christian Coomer. He's a state representative from Cartersville. Talked about him the other day. He wants to deny it. He wants to say it's not true. My friend Jessica has done the votes. She's listed them and sent them to me. There's a rule in the state house that if you're on the floor of the state house, you've got to vote. There have been members of the state house who have been called out for not voting. I got a list of more than 100 votes right here where Christian Coomer, they weren't excused votes. He wasn't excused. He was there. He just didn't vote. And they let him get away with it. They let him get away with it because he is on the cool kids team. And because he's on the cool kids team, he can get away with breaking the rules in a way no one else can. But, you know, the rules are the rules, and they're supposed to apply to everybody. And if we don't want to apply the rules, then don't apply them to anybody. They're rules. And they routinely get away with these things. I mean, this guy, going back to 2011, the 2011 general session, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 21 votes. 21 votes that he skipped out on. The Georgia Trauma Care Network Commission, burn center and patients to provide for it, skipped out on that. The Georgia Public Revenue Code, ad valorem tax assessments, skipped out on that. Changing the amount of fees, penalties for application for reinstatement of corporations, skipped out on that. Clarifying that authorities are authorized to conduct redevelopment for local government, skipped out on that. A lot of votes skipped out on. I got them. The rules are supposed to apply to everyone. And when the members, the leaders of the legislature decide that the rules, that other people in the legislature can get a pass on them, that other people in the legislature don't have to follow the rules because they're in the club, well, then it kind of begins to break down the rule of law altogether. I mean, we got to hold these people accountable. If we don't hold these people accountable, we're not going to be able to change the system. And it is very clear we need to change the system. We also need to change out from me to Doug to get you guys home. Doug, sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, no problem at all, Eric. 643 WSB, let's tell you, the perimeter's starting to clean up. 285 eastbound, it's still pretty stacked, though, for the 400 Ashford-Dunwoody area over toward I-85 Spaghetti Junction. You'll encounter a couple of slow spots southbound trying to get down toward the La Vista Road area. We also have outer loop backup still there. 285 westbound, approaching 75 in Cobb County, and inner loop stall on the left shoulder, 285 north of Cobb Parkway, Eric.
I just, folks, look, I look at a guy like Coomer as someone that the people of Cartersville need to know. He's their state representative. They need to know that he just doesn't vote on things. And the rules say he's supposed to. And, you know, that he would want you, his constituents, to follow the rules. So why doesn't he follow the rules? Why does David Ralston allow members of the State House to break the rules? The rules are there to make sure everyone plays on an even playing field. You know, I believe Calvin Coolidge is the best conservative president, better even than Reagan. One of the things Calvin Coolidge said was, it is the job of the government to make sure the playing field is level. And it is. And if the government's not going to make sure the playing field is level so that everyone can compete, well, then we move into oligopoly. We move into oligarchy. We move into dictatorship. We do. It's not hyperbole. It's the truth. We do. When only a few people are allowed to break the rules and everyone else must be forced to follow the rules, the rules can become more and more burdensome on the people because those who write them don't have to live by them and feel their effects. This was one of the things after the Gingrich Revolution in the 1990s. They passed a law that said Congress had to follow the law too on employment and all these other things. And the way Congress behaved and the way Congress wrote laws began to change. People like this just have, look, we have an obligation to call these things out. We have an obligation to expose them. And I think a lot of people in the press in the Atlanta area, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I just think they depend on access to write stories and tell stories. And I'm not really worried about that access. I'm perfectly happy to call people out and name names. And they can complain. They can write nasty letters. They can call my boss. But it ain't gonna stop. Now we come to the end of the program. And I want to say something kind now. I was actually very impressed by the number of Democrats who spoke in favor of Governor Deal's plan. Now, I'm told that the governor cut deals with some of the Democrats. Governor Deal cut deals, ha ha, to get Democratic support. And a number of them came out and spoke positively of his plan. I got to tell you, I want conservatives to be able to obstruct to get RFRA passed without amendment. And we're probably now going to be undermined. And it's clear from the media, from the AJC, from the press coverage of this, that everyone is out to kill RFRA. David Ralston, the press, every story is deeply hostile to it. And I wish the governor would stand up and fight for Christians. I wish he would recognize what the amendments do and how it cuts it. I wish he would be with us on this. Whether he is or not, I'm with him on the education plan because I like it. I wish we had more leverage there to obstruct it, to force his hand and get involved. But I like the education plan, and I'm glad he's been able to get some Democrats in the House to come up for him. I hope it goes to a vote, and I hope people support it at the polls. The teachers' unions are going to come out of the woodworks to kill it. The left is going to come out of the woodwork to kill it. It is a good plan, people. The local governments are continuing to fail the kids. We are at a point where we can no longer rely on the local governments to fix the problems they created. It's time to let outsiders come in and fix those problems. It is time to do it for the kids. It is. Put the kids ahead of the bureaucrats and the professional school board members who live off the land. It's just time. All right, I'm out of here. I'll be on Outnumbered on Fox at noon tomorrow. See you guys later.